The book of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter 21. And Father, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 1. And it reads, If one shall be found slain in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee to possess, lying in the field, and it be not known who hath slain him. In other words, even in the promised land, there would be death, and that's because of sin. So even during good times, bad things would happen. Bad things like this. Verse 2. Then thy elders and thy judges shall come forth, and they shall measure to the cities which are round about him that is slain. And so the leadership would determine which city was the closest to the dead man. Verse 3. And it shall be that the city which is next to the slain man, even the elders of that city, shall take a heifer which hath not been wrought with, and which hath not drawn in the yoke, haven't used it for farming or any work purposes. 4. And the elders of that city shall bring down the heifer to a rough valley, which is neither tilled nor sown, and shall strike off the heifer's head there in the valley. And this heifer was a sacred animal unto God, used for sacred purposes here, and that is why it never could have been used. It could not have been used for, I should say, common purposes like farming. And it was offered as a sacrifice to the Lord God. Verse 5, and the priests, the sons of Levi, shall come near. For them the Lord thy God hath chosen to minister to him, and to bless in the name of the Lord. And by their word shall every controversy and every stroke be tried. Verse 6, and all the elders of that city that are next to the slain man shall wash their hands over the heifer that is beheaded in the valley. And so this was a sacred ritual. Verse 7, and they shall answer and say, our hands have not shed this blood, neither have our eyes seen it. Someone would be accountable for the death of that man. And in some cases, only God would know who that person was. And God would take care of it in due time. Verse 8, be merciful, O Lord, to thy people Israel, whom thou hast redeemed, and lay not innocent blood to the charge of thy people Israel, and the blood shall be forgiven them. God would not hold the people of an area accountable for the death of someone if they had no knowledge of who did it, and were therefore unable to prosecute them. Verse 9. So shalt thou remove the guilt of innocent blood from among you, when thou shalt do that which is right in the sight of the Lord. So if they followed the method of obtaining God's mercy, they would not be punished. And the same is true today. If we follow the method of obtaining God's mercy, namely by repenting and receiving Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, then God will not punish us for our sins, because we are forgiven in Christ. We receive eternal life and salvation through Christ. 10. When thou goest forth to war against thy enemies, and the Lord thy God hath delivered them into thy hands, and thou hast taken them captive. You know, as long as Israel obeyed God, he would give them victory over all their enemies, no matter how powerful they might be. And this is talking about a situation like that. 11, and thou seest among the captives a beautiful woman, and hast a desire to her, that thou wouldest have her for thy wife. No, not that you would just violate her, but that you would take her as a wife and care for her. And, you know, I like what God says here. You know, he created beauty, and it is normal to be attracted to one who takes care of themselves and looks nice. But they must be treated with dignity and respect, as we will see, verse 12. Then thou shalt bring her home to thy house, and she shall shave her head and pare her nails. So she needs to cleanse herself. 13. And she shall put off from her the raiment of her captivity, and shall remain in thy house and bewail her father and mother a full month. And after that, thou shalt go in to her and be her husband, and she shall be thy wife. Again, treat her with respect, treat her with dignity, not as if she's just property. One of the things that God commands the Israelite man to do is allow her to mourn the loss of her family. Give her time. Give her 30 days to do that. Now, her family may have been no good, but they still meant something to her. And God recognizes that and has sympathy for her. Verse 14. And it shall be, if thou shalt have no delight in her, then thou shalt let her go where she will. Let her go free. But thou shalt not sell her at all for money. Thou shalt not make merchandise of her, because thou hast humbled her. So God says, treat her again with respect. Don't treat her as if she is chattel, as if she is just your property. 15. If a man shall have two wives, one beloved and another hated, and they have borne him children, both the beloved and the hated. And if the firstborn be hers that was hated. Now, God never sanctioned bigamy, but he did recognize that it would happen. So he at least laid down some rules to make it more tolerable. 16. Then it shall be, when he maketh his sons to inherit that which he hath, that he may not prefer the son of the beloved firstborn before the son of the hated, which is indeed the firstborn. You got to play by the rules, God says. Set aside your feelings for the individual women and go by the rules that I have established. 17. Let the word of God, in other words, govern you, not your feelings. 17. But he shall acknowledge the son of the hated for the firstborn, by giving him a double portion of all that he hath, for he is the beginning of his strength. The right of the firstborn is his. And there's no exceptions to that, unless God makes the exception, which he did in a couple of cases. 18. If a man shall have a stubborn and rebellious son, who will not obey the voice of his father, or the voice of his mother, and who, when they have chastened him, will not hearken to them. So he's talking about not a little toddler. He's talking about an older son, and just will not respond to discipline, but continues in rebellion against the authority of his parents. What do you do? Verse 19. Then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him and bring him out to the elders of his city and to the gate of his place. In other words, take him to the authorities. Remember, Israel was a theocracy. And so when somebody broke one of God's commandments, such as honor your father and mother, it was not only a sin against God, but it was a sin against the state. It was breaking the law of the state. And he was a criminal, basically. 20. And they shall say to the elders of his city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. He's just a rebel. He doesn't care about God, obviously, and he shows it by his actions, and he won't repent, no matter what. He just refuses. 21. And all the men of his city shall stone him with stones, that he may die. So shalt thou remove evil from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. because he broke the commandments willfully, with malice and aforethought, and given opportunities to repent, he would not. Verse 22. And if a man shall have committed sin worthy of death, he must be put to death, and thou shalt hang him on a tree. Verse 23. His body shall not remain all night upon the tree, but thou shalt not in any wise bury him that day, for he that is hanged is a curse to God. Hang him on a tree after you execute him for committing a crime worthy of death. And being hung on a tree was a sign that that person was cursed by God. And he was cursed because of his sin. He didn't sin because he was cursed. He's cursed because he sinned. For he that is hanged is cursed of God, that thy land may not be defiled, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. So God wanted people to keep his law because they loved him. But if that didn't work, then there were other deterrents, like punishment. But either way, God wanted his land to be a good place, and that wasn't going to happen unless his people were holy and committed to him.